Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to go that direction again, have applications other places, but I am interested in young people. I'm interested in people giving, young people giving their life to serve God. Paul writes, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, very familiar verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want, you and I should all want God's will for our life. Jesus, God challenges us here in his word that we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, saying, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And surrender to him, surrender to his will. In some ways, I don't like using the word surrender to the will of God. It sounds like you're giving in to some bad thing. You know, like you're at war or something, the enemy's coming to capture you, and so you're going to, you know, they're beating you, so you've got to surrender. And you're going into prison camp now. It's going to be really bad. And I know, you know, when we say surrender to God's will, I understand what that means, and I think certainly we ought to be surrender and be willing to do whatever God wants us to do. But on the other hand, the will of God is never a bad thing. The will of God is always a good thing. And it's not like, you know, you had all these wonder, or I have all these wonderful choices and all these great things I can do with my life, but I'm willing to give up all these great things I could do with my life so I can surrender to the will of God, and I'm willing to have this miserable life because I'm surrendered to the will of God instead of doing all the wonderful things that I would have done with my life. And sometimes that's kind of the idea that we give in our preaching and kind of the idea that I think our young people grow up with, and I, you know, to me it's just totally backwards. It doesn't make any sense at all. You ought to say, I'll surrender to, you know, make money, or I'll surrender to whatever, but not the will of God. The will of God we ought to be volunteering for. We ought to be trying to seek it and find it and want it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, pray you'd bless this message and the time that we have together tonight. Lead and guide as we preach and teach and talk here, testify. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And turn your Bibles then back to Psalm 34. I want to pick up some verses there. Also, I'm going to use a little bit of Bible and probably go over to Proverbs and who knows where else before we get done tonight. Well, I've got some ideas. Psalm 34, verse 1, David writes, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We ought to praise God. Down verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed. We're blessed, happy, enjoying a good life. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, the Bible never says, if I turn to God, I'll be miserable. Bible never says if you give your life to God, he's going to find what you don't want to do it, and make you be miserable the rest of your life. Anyhow, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Want, in King James Bible, the idea is lack or short, you know, shortfall. There's not going to be any want or any lack. You're not going to be left out if you fear God. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. All right, some folks are lacking in this passage, but it's not those that fear God, it's the young lions. But they that seek the Lord shall not want, again, the idea is not lack, not be wanting or be lacking any good things. Now, you may have some things that you don't get. They won't be good things, according to the Word of God. I want to live my life for God. I want to serve him. I want to be able to find what God wants me to do. That's what I've tried to do with my life. God's will is the best thing for you. You know, sometimes, I think we have the idea that, well, God's will, I mean, that'd be really hard, wouldn't it? I mean, if I surrender to do God's will, or if I wind up going into ministry, then I'm giving up so much. You're not giving up anything by doing God's will. You will give up nothing. by doing God's will. We seem to have the idea more and more, it seems to me, going to churches, talking to young people, as far as that goes, talking to college kids, that somehow I've got to come up with a plan of how I can make a success of my life and how I'm going to be able to take care of myself, how I'm going to be able to feed my family, how I'm going to be able to retire in old age, and how I'm going to be able to get a good marriage and have a good home and just, you know, live comfortably at least, maybe not try to be rich, wouldn't necessarily need to drive a BMW or a Lexus or anything, but I'd like to, you know, just have a nice car and a nice house and have my life. And so I've got to, you know, if I just go into this Christian service thing, I mean, that isn't, you know, that probably won't work out. So I better have another plan. I need to come up with a way to do this. And, you know, I mean, if you go to Bible college, well, you know, I mean, that you're not going to make any money there. And, you know, that God is, you know, we leave God out of the whole thing. Ever occur to you that things that matter most in life you can't buy with money anyhow? As far as that goes, just tossing out in church. I mean, you've got a church nursery. I mean, you know, my wife and I put our kids in church nursery, and nobody's said anything to me from almost the day they were born. They're a week, 2 weeks old. I mean, I figured there's one person who's really going to decide how healthy those kids are and how well they grow and what they develop into. And it ain't going to be, you know, in terms of their health, it's all up to God. So if I want them to stay healthy and grow up to love God and serve Him, which they all did, and which they've all been healthy, and they had three healthy kids that love God and are trying to serve Him. They've made mistakes in their life, as have their mom and dad, and most of us, most of you, I think. But on the other hand, they love God and are trying to serve Him, and they've been healthy growing up. I just figured that was all up to God. So why wouldn't I put them where they belong and let me go on and serve God? I mean, that just made sense to me. And, you know, as we get on in life, you know, the things that matter, I'm walking up here. That's a blessing. Amen. Now that I can see where I'm walking, that's a blessing. Amen. You know, we had Brother John Bishop in our church the other day. He can hardly see where he walks. Now he still says God is good all the time. And He is. And I don't know, if I went through that, I'd have prayed, God, give me grace to do it. But on the other hand, whether or not I can walk tomorrow morning is up to God. I mean, I don't know. As far as that goes, what kind of accidents I have, what kind of car wrecks, it's all up to Him anyhow. I don't have to come up with a plan for my life. All I got to do is figure out what God's plan is and follow it. And far as that goes, as adults, you know, same thing. Sometimes, you know, we get thinking, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. I wouldn't want to get too involved in the church, and I wouldn't want to, you know, give too much money to the church, or I wouldn't want to do this, or I wouldn't want to do that, because, you know, I've got to have this plan, I got to come up with this way, and I got to figure this. All I got to do is figure out God's plan and follow it. Amen. Good. I don't need to cunningly devise my own plan. I mean, you know, I'm about as smart as the next guy, I guess. And I think I could come up with a plan about as well as anybody else, but I can't come up with one as well as he does. And so I just decided, I just want to serve him, give him my life. And, you know, people, the idea, you know, folks will say, well, you know, you need to get some business training so you'll support yourself. I think we've got too much confidence in what we can do and what we're going to be able to do to support ourselves and not enough confidence in God taking care of us. As far as that goes, where people get the idea you go into ministry, you're going to wind up poor and penniless. I mean, Brother Ross, you don't look like you're poor and penniless and broke. Are you 6 months behind on that you drove me back here in a nice little Jeep, I think it was. I mean, it wasn't a BMW. It was a nice car. They're not going to repossess it tomorrow, are they? It's all paid for. My wife and I have an 03 and an 04 car. They're both paid for. Both run fine. Pontiac and a Chevy. Who knows if we'll be able to get replacement parts for them. Now, you know, and you know what? When I was, as far as that goes, 40 years ago, when I was getting out of college, they'd have said, boy, if you want a secure job, you go work for GM. That will give you security. You'll be able to retire in dignity and with style. They've got great pensions. I mean, they'll have what you need. And your life will be secure if you go get a job with GM, right? That's what people would have said 20 years ago. Now you're giving up all that security by going into ministry. My bills are paid. My cars are paid for. And those, and I mean, it's sad. One of my college students said, please pray for my grandfather. He's on a pension from GM, and all of a sudden it's gone. He doesn't have anything to live on. There's no more checks coming. Our security isn't in GM or Lilly or any of the places here. It's in God. We get too bound up, I think, with education. Somebody said we got an epidemic of academics going on. I mean, I spent my whole life in education. I'm not against education. But the idea that somehow I've got to get, this degree or that, God takes care of you. I got a 4-year degree from Princeton, 3-year master's degree in theology from Tennessee Temple back when Dr. Lee Robertson was running it. Wouldn't send anybody there now. Back when I went 40 years ago, it was the place to go in fundamentalism. Independent Fundamental Baptist College. I mean, it was the place to go 40 years ago. There weren't many choices. You've got choices today. There weren't many choices back then. And if you wanted something Baptist, that was about it. Got a doctorate from Hiles Anderson. Spent 40 years teaching and training. I believe in education, but education's not the answer. And saying, well, you got to have this kind of a degree or that kind of a degree. I'm tired of hearing Christian young people say, well, Brother Jorgensen, God hasn't specifically called me in the ministry, so I guess I'm going to go into business. What's that mean? I think that means I want to work in an office where I won't get hot and sweaty. And I want to make a lot of money. I think that's what that means. I don't think most folks that say I'm going to go into business have really got a clue what they're going to study. I don't think most of them have an idea where they're headed. Why don't we say, God hasn't really called me specifically into the business world, so I'm just volunteering for the ministry. But that's what I did. And it wasn't because that was all I could do. I had other options. But I felt like, hey, why would I want to go work for General Motors or IBM or wherever when I could go serve God? There are people dying going to hell that have never heard the gospel. Why don't I want to spend my life every day sitting down behind a desk making car parts or figuring out or doing audits, financial audits? Why in the world do I want to spend my life doing that when I can spend my life helping people and preaching the gospel and getting folks saved? I just figured, and you say, well, Brother Jorgensen, that's not much of a call. I don't know, but that's why I'm here. God's used me for 40 years to His glory. John R. Rice's testimony was, I was teaching English. I wasn't. John R. Rice was teaching English down in the University of Chicago back years ago. Went down to the old Pacific Garden Mission one night. Had a drunken bum come down to the altar, dirty and unshaven and smelly. And I got down on my knees next to him, led him to Christ. He came back the next night, cleaned up, shaven, looking like a different man. I said, God, I'd much rather do this than teach English. If I get to heaven, I spent too much time soul winning, too much time preaching or whatever, you let me know, but I'm just going to keep going until you stop me. Higher learning, as far as that goes back to education, higher learning that causes doubt in this book is not higher learning. Fear of the Lord's beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, according to the Bible. Proverbs 9:10 and 1:9. I mean, so if the fear of the Lord is the beginning, then if there's somebody saying, well, you need higher learning, then higher learning that teaches you to doubt this book, the Old King James Bible, is not higher learning. It just isn't. And you say, well, but you trust this word. God is one that gives for eternity. God gives real joy. God gives security. What you and I devise is temporal. It's uncertain. My health is in God's hands. My finances are in God's hands. Relationships are in God's hands. I mean, you know, it's up to God. You don't know. I mean, I knew my wife pretty well before I but I didn't really know what was going to work out. I had to get on my knees and say, God, lead me. Don't let me make a mistake. I want your will. You know the future. And you've been at this a while. You know, you've heard, I'm sure, and I don't know who, but, you know, people that thought they were marrying a really good guy or a really good girl, and they turned out to be a total scoundrel. I mean, it happens. And, you know, you pray and you say, God, I don't need your plan for my life. I don't need my plan for my life. I don't need to come up with a plan. All I got to do is figure out what you want me to do is go do it. That makes life so simple. You say, well, Brother Jorgensen, I think I'm too intelligent. I think I can come up with something. You aren't going to come up with anything better than God can. My 8-year-old grandson, last year, he was 7 then, went down the altar and prayed a long time one night in church service. And his dad asked him at night, he said, Mark, what were you praying about so long at the altar tonight? He said, well, Dad, I decided to give my life to God. And he said, well, that's wonderful, Mark. It's a good decision. He said, yeah, I mean, I figure, what am I going to do with it? May as well give it to God. That makes sense, doesn't it? And my grandson, 7 years old, then went on to say, I mean, after all, he's God. Why wouldn't I give it to him? I mean, doesn't that just make sense? You get 16, 18, 20, 40, 61. We figure, well, I better take some of it back. Because, you know, I mean, I'm 61 now. I am. I know you don't believe that, just looking at me. My wife's is much, much younger. But, you know, okay, well then, you know, I don't know how much longer I'll be able to work. Maybe I better start preparing for retirement. Maybe I better do this or take care of that. I didn't know how much longer I had to work when I was 21. That could be ended like that. It's all in His hands. I don't need to take it back from Him. I don't need to get something back. Look at Proverbs, and we won't. Brother Ross says you usually finish about 9:30. Is that right? They'll love you if I preach till 9:30. Boy, you'd be set for the next year, wouldn't you? We'll get you out of here. He said between 8:20 and 8:30 he usually finishes up. Turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll just look at some of this here. If I find Proverbs. Why are you guys laughing? What time does he really let you out? Huh? Proverbs chapter 3. I'll be done preaching no later than 8:20. Length of days, long life, and I think I got it about 10 till after the songs and everything else. Length of days, long life, and peace shall they add. Hey, you want to live a long time? Get God's instruction. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Length of days, long life. You know, I may die in a car accident with a drunken driver, but it won't be because I was drunk. My odds are much better if I don't drink. My life may be shortened through some illness, but it won't be AIDS I got from a dirty needle. I'm not going to die of a drug overdose. I'm not going to die of a bad liver I got from drinking too much alcohol. I mean, I don't know how much longer I'll live. I may die in a plane crash as far as that goes, but it won't be at 7:30 on a Sunday night because I'm going to be in church. Amen. Amen. Well, that's good. I mean, there's a lot of things not only that, hey, I get peace. You were talking about the fellow came in here recently. This morning, when was it? Just so upset? This morning, looking for a Catholic church. Maybe y'all didn't, just totally torn up. Probably wasn't saved. You get saved, God will give you peace. Can't buy that. This is a pretty good deal, just following God. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Hey, a good favor in the sight of God and man, that sounds like a pretty good thing to have. Be well thought of by God and by others. Be respected by people. All I've got to do is, so how to do that? Just follow what God tells me to do. Listen to his instruction. I go on, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with lean not unto thine own understanding. Hey, I mean, I don't have to have a plan. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God just takes care of it. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health. There I am. I get good health again to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You want to have plenty? Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Hey, you want to have enough? Just obey God. So I don't think it really works that way. I think I need my own plan. Well, maybe you know better than God does. I've been trying to follow his, and I mean, I haven't been perfect, and I do sin, and I get away from it sometimes, and you know, like all of us do, but I've been trying to follow his for 45 years or so. I'll tell you this, to his glory, it's worked pretty well. Amen. Amen. And we got cars with 60, 70,000 miles on them, but they run well, and they're paid for. Live in a nice house. Have decent clothes. I mean, I got plenty according to the Word of God, and you know, he's right. Verse 13, you want to be happy? Well, I just want to be happy. Well, I'll tell you how to be happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Where are you going to get wisdom and understanding? In this book. You want to be rich? Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, riches in her left hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. All I've got is good old King James Bible. I just don't read real well. If I read a word that isn't quite in there or something, I don't have a different version. It's just King James Bible is all there is. That's all I care. It's all I read. But sometimes I don't read real well when I get excited in preaching or trying to think of what I'm going to say next or whatever. Anyhow, length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Sounds like a pretty good way to live, doesn't it? Sounds like it's what getting us everything we want. In her, you know, if it didn't give us all those good things, I'm supposed to serve God because it's right. And I mean, you know, Apostle Paul wound up, and he had a lot of good things, and he had a good life, wound up in prison, wound up a martyr. And who knows what's ahead for us? I don't know. But I know serving God is what's going to pay. And as far as that goes, I know this life is pretty short. 20, 30, 40, 60, 80, 100 years. But it's going to end. I'm going to live there forever. 100 years you live here, it'd be like an hour in heaven. Or a minute. I mean, eternity's a long, long, long time. I'm talking about forever. Really doesn't make that much difference how we live here if you're thinking about how you're going to live over there. Anyhow, her ways are, verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. Verse 22, they shall be life to thy soul and grace to thy neck. Thou shalt walk in the way safely. Boy, I get safety. Thy foot shall not stumble. Boy, there's protection. God take care of me. What's going to happen? You know, what are we going to have? More riots? We're going to have more of this or that? And, you know, more terrorist acts or whatever? I don't know, but I know God's going to take care of me. I know, according to verse 23, thou shalt walk in thy way safely and thy foot shall not stumble. What the Word of God says. You know, if I serve God, life's just going to work out well. I ought to put God first in my life and just decide I want to live for Him. I mean, there's nothing, there's no life I can't imagine. I mean, you know, I went to school. Randy Shepard, Chief Justice, Supreme Court here in Indiana, was a classmate of mine at Princeton. I wouldn't trade my life for his in a minute. Knew him in college. Mitch Daniels, of course, went there. Didn't know Mitch in college. He was a couple years behind me. Gotten to know him since then, back when we were both involved in Lugar campaign and so on. We were living in Indiana. Wouldn't trade my life with his for a moment. Friends, college guys went on to be millionaires and make this and do that. I tell you what, I don't know what their life and joy is like, but I can't imagine it'd be a tithe of the joy I feel. The good family and serving God and looking forward to heaven and looking forward to hearing Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Knowing I'm pleased, my parents made them proud. Knowing I've tried to make the investment of others that have put something into me worthwhile. Knowing that my kids can be proud of me, my wife. Serving God's the most wonderful life in the world. It doesn't, to me, I don't see why everybody wouldn't be jumping to get in it. And, you know, and again, I don't know where this idea comes from. Well, you know, we got to make sure that, you know, we get some sideline that's good. I got college students that, you know, well, I want to serve God, but I'm going to need to take out of college a year to go into this kind of training, you know. And I had somebody wanting to be a policeman on the side, or he was going to be a missionary. And while he was a missionary, he was going to support himself by, you know, why don't we just trust God? Why don't we just decide, God, I want you to lead my life and take care of me. Let's pray. Father, as you know my heart, I've tried to help. I want to help these people. I want your word to help them. I want the principles from your word to help them. God, as you know my heart, I'm not talking to anybody individually. I want to testify and praise you for your goodness to me. 40 years in the ministry full time this year. Being able to walk with you and feel like you used me today. I helped somebody today. Led somebody to Christ today. Thank you for your goodness. And God, please, again, help folks here not to help them to understand my heart and to see it. Thank you for folks you lead into lay ministries and where that is God's will for their life. Thank you for the laymen. We couldn't have church without them. We need them. Help a layman, Father, to decide. God, I just want to follow your plan for my life as a layman. And my job and my church and when I work and what I do at the church and what I do with my money and where I go on the weekends and how I live and the standards I have in my house. That God, layman, would decide tonight, I just want to serve you with my life. I just want to follow your plan for living.